Good morning, everyone. I want to know, kids, who got to go to Camp Lywood this summer? Yeah, two over here, two there. Cool, good. Once again, I'm using some of the curriculum from Camp Lywood. Jared's allowed me to do this, and that's really cool. We're going to be talking about limitless mercy. The theme out of camp was limitless, and it started off with God's power being limitless and God's mercy being limitless is the second topic that they talked about. So, grumble, grumble, grumble. We all grumble. We grumble when mom and dad tell us it's time to go to bed. We grumble when we're told to eat the broccoli. We grumble when we don't feel well. Sometimes we grumble against God. A loved one finds out that they have cancer or some other dreaded disease. A family member or a good friend dies, or our best friend moves out of state. Let me pray. God, thank you for loving us. We're here for you today. We're not here for me. So, Lord, I ask that the words that I speak are the words that you want us to hear. And I just pray that that's the case. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for always being with us. And thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. The Israelites had a knack for grumbling. That means it was easy for them. I found 11 examples in Exodus and Numbers where the Israelites grumbled for one reason or another. We grumble when we're not happy about the way that something is going, especially when we find somebody else that we can blame for it. Sometimes it seems fair to grumble when there is something that we need but we don't have. The Israelites, as I was looking through what they grumbled about leaving Egypt and having to face Pharaoh's army, and that was just shortly after they left Egypt, and God showed them mercy when he took care of the army in the Red Sea. They grumbled when they got to Mara, and the water wasn't any good. They were thirsty, and God blessed them by giving Moses a way to sweeten that water. They grumbled again to Moses and Aaron when they were hungry. They didn't have enough food and they didn't know if it was going to last. And God gave them manna and quail. So God kept showing them mercy over and over again, even in the midst of their grumbling. So God never stopped providing what the Israelites needed, regardless of what their heart attitude was. He always had limitless mercy for them. Limitless, it means no end. There was no end to his mercy. One day, but as time went on and the Israelites kept grumbling, God kept providing, but the consequences got worse. One day, the people became impatient because they had to make a long detour around the nation of Edom. For some reason, the king didn't want that many people just marching through his nation, and they had a pretty big army, and so they told the Israelites no. Well, the people didn't like that. They didn't like the fact that they'd have a detour and that it was going to take them longer to get to where they're going. I don't really understand that because they're already past the point where God has told them they're not going to enter the promised land until everyone who was an adult when they left Egypt has passed away during the trip because of all the grumbling they'd done. But still, they grumbled when they weren't able to pass through Edom. And so God sent some poisonous snakes, and many of the people died because of those snakes. The people realized that they had made a mistake, grumbling against God. And they went to Moses and they asked Moses to intercede for them. And once again, he did. Moses went to God, and God instructed Moses to make a snake and put it on a pole. So Moses made a bronze snake, and he put it on the pole. And God said that if the people looked at the snake on the pole after being bitten, they wouldn't die. Now I want you to notice, God could have stopped the snakes, but he didn't. And he could have fixed it so the venom wasn't poisonous, but he didn't. The people still had consequences for the sin that they had done. They had grumbled against God, and he was punishing them for that. But he gave them a way to avoid death. And I think that's a beautiful picture of God's mercy. Even though the people are grumbling consistently almost, he keeps showing them mercy by providing the things that they need, and in this case, providing a way from death so that they didn't die after the snake bit. In fact, this is a beautiful picture of Christ on the cross. Instead of a snake on a pole, it's Christ on the cross. John records Jesus telling us in John 3, just as Moses lifted the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Mercy, not getting the punishment we deserve. God's mercy is limitless. Joel 2:13, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he resents over disaster. God's gracious, and he's merciful. Psalm 86, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Again, we're told how God is merciful, and his mercy is limitless. Did the Israelites deserve to be bit by the snakes? Yeah. They grumbled. They deserved it. Did they deserve to be healed by looking at the bronze snake on the pole? No. Nope, they didn't deserve that. But God blessed them by saving their lives if they looked at the snake on the pole. They did not get what they deserved. They did not get the death they deserved for grumbling against God. God gave them mercy, his unlimited mercy. Can you think of other Bible stories that show God's mercy? Yes. That's true. That's true. When the Israelites were stuck at the Red Sea and the Egyptian army was coming, God showed his mercy to the Israelites, even though they were grumbling and wishing that they hadn't left Egypt. God showed Moses, or told Moses what to do. God sent a wind that spread the waters apart, and the Israelites were able to get across. Was the Egyptian army able to get across? I think I lost that one. No, the army wasn't able to get across. The waters came back together. How about another example? Can you think of another example of mercy in the Bible? Anybody? Okay, I'll share a few that I found. Jonah. Remember the story of Jonah? God asked him to do something, to go to Nineveh and to tell the people about God, and that they needed to change their ways, or he was going to destroy them. In fact, that was God's plan, was to destroy them unless they changed their ways. Jonah didn't want to go, and so he ran, and he ran from God, and he went in an opposite direction. And of course, we know the story. He ran into trouble. The men threw him off the boat. God sent a great fish to swallow him and basically save his life, because he would have drowned without that fish. And then the fish took him to land, and Jonah realized how merciful God was, and that God's mercy even extended to the people of Nineveh. And they had a right to know that. And so he completed his mission. Can you think of another one? Oh, you know, I'm not familiar with that one. Can you tell me real quick about that one? Okay. That's right. That's right. 10 lepers came to Jesus to be healed, and Jesus told them what to do. All 10 were healed. Only one came back and said, thank you. Did Jesus know that all 10 were going to be healed? Yes. Did he know only one was going to come and say thank you? Yes. But he showed his mercy anyway. And he made sure that all of them were healed. How about the woman at the well? The Samaritan woman that Jesus met at the well? She was a sinner, and she knew it. In fact, she tried to hide from Jesus the fact that she was living with someone after having been married 4 or 5 times before. And Jesus took the time to speak to her and to share with her, and she became a believer. So Jesus showed her mercy, his mercy to her, even though she was a sinner. And even though Jews were kind of segregated or separated themselves from the Samaritan. So God is always showing his mercy, always. And his mercy is unlimited. There's one more story I'd like to share, which to me I thought was probably one of the best stories for God's mercy. 3 days after Jesus died on the cross, he was resurrected, right? We know that he came back to life. Then he spent about 40 days meeting with his disciples and his closest followers until he finally returned to heaven. About 10 days after the ascension, about 10 days after Jesus went back to heaven, the Jewish people were celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. And at that time, God gave a gift to the people. And I see I kind of got out of order here. So after Jesus went to heaven, the church grew. More and more people became believers. And about 10 days later, Jesus returned to heaven about 10 days after that was the Feast of Pentecost. And that's when the believers got the gift of the Holy Spirit. But there were still people who hated the Jesus followers. There were still people that didn't like what Jesus stood for, and they didn't like the fact that there were people that believed what Jesus stood for, and they hated him. One day, these people brought false charges against a believer named Stephen. Stephen is described as a man full of God's grace and power who did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Because of these false charges, Stephen was found guilty, and even though he wasn't, remember false charges, and even though he wasn't, he was killed. He was the first believer to die for Jesus because of his faith. There was a man there named Saul who gave his approval for Stephen's death. Later we find out that Saul was hunting down Jesus believers for the Jewish religious leaders. He was on his way to a town called Damascus to hunt down more believers so that they could be returned to Jerusalem and punished. On his way to Damascus, Saul was confronted by Jesus. And the story goes something like this. What is... better? No. That better. Okay, let's see what happens. So Saul was on his way to Damascus, and he was confronted by Jesus. And the story goes something like this. He was going to Damascus to persecute believers. He wasn't going to be their friends. As he neared the end of his journey, a bright light suddenly flashed from heaven. Paul fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" asked Saul. But I think he already knew. Do you think he knew who that was? "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Saul lost his sight for 3 days, and eventually he meets with a man named Ananias, who heals Saul. God had talked to Ananias and told him Saul was coming. Here's a man who is hunting down believers to punish them in severe ways. But God still shows his unlimited mercy. He has mercy on Saul. And not only does he have mercy on him, but he leads him to the point where he becomes a believer. And now he's going to be in heaven. God chose Saul to be the man, to be the one to carry his name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. Not only did God plan to use Saul for his purposes, he intervened in his life so that he would become a believer. Now, I was going to say that that's the only example I knew of in the Bible where God directly intervenes in someone's life to make sure they become a believer. But the more I thought about it, it was obvious that I was wrong. Jesus called the fishermen to follow him. He called the tax collector to follow him. I mean, talk about intervening in people's lives. And I can tell you that God intervened in my life. God had to orchestrate so many things in order to bring me to the point where I became a believer. And that means that he had to do a lot of things to make it happen. It wasn't just a simple task for God. I was going to end up in hell believing that all I had to do to get to heaven was be good. Believe that if my good deeds outweighed my bad deeds, I'd be going to heaven. But that's not the way it works, is it? God showed his limitless love and his unlimitless mercy to the people of Israel so many times. And God showed his limitless mercy to Saul when he brought him to Ananias. God showed his limitless mercy to me by helping me learn that it was what Jesus did on the cross that saved me. Didn't have anything to do with how good I was, because I couldn't be good enough. God has shown his limitless mercy to you over and over. So, instead of being like the Israelites and spending too much time grumbling, praise God for salvation. Praise God for his never-ending mercy. Praise God for his never-ending love. Mercy, not getting the punishment we deserve. God's mercy is limitless. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. So you can get close to using them all up today, but they'll be new tomorrow. Starts all over again. Great is your faithfulness. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your limitless mercy. Thank you that you love us enough to put up with our grumbling. You love us enough to put up with our false ideas and the things that we think are important but really aren't. You have mercy on us, God. You forgive us over and over and over again. You are so wonderful. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that it is limitless. Thank you that your love is limitless. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.